wherever they shrop them. I don't envy you, but if I have to tell you, you have to realize I'm home now. I'm 2 minutes on my shul, so I have a whole day, you know, I have no problem. I can just go down the block at 7:30, now and then I'm ready to go, so, you know. I was thinking of giving out samples today of the things we're going to talk about in Hilchos Brachos, but then I realized there's a problem because we put pizza and schnitzel on the same thing, so it didn't, you know, we got stuck. So we'll have to do this virtual. You know, it's the virtual age anyhow, so we'll do everything virtual. The problem in halacha often is that it is very, very difficult for things to become a kibbul in Klal Yisrael. I don't exactly understand the process of how the Sanhedrin HaGadol worked. I don't know that it's fully articulated in Chazal, because principally Shas was written really after the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash. So obviously, you know, we see in the secular system around us that there's a court, that there's an appeals court, a U.S. appeals court, and somehow finally it winds its way after years, it winds up in the U.S. Supreme Court, and they have a hearing and they render a decision, which is binding on everyone. So one imagines that since we had Shoytim Titin L'chol B'chol Sharecha, there's a mitzvah to have Bati Din B'chol every year, so there was local adjudication, and then somehow from the local it arrived by whatever process it's Sanhedrin HaGadol ultimately to make a decision about. And obviously not everything arrived, if the process exactly how this took place, I don't really know. But at least when we had a Sanhedrin HaGadol, so Sanhedrin HaGadol spoke with one voice, an authoritative voice, and was conveying Allah of the Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in a number of places, in Chagiga and elsewhere, and in numerous places in Shas, wonders how we're going to survive if Eilu Poislin, Eilu Machshirim, Eilu Matamin, Eilu Matarin, and every issue there's going to be a multiplicity of youth. And if it would remain with two, Chazal envision two, we have something, it's a mitzvah, some say it's a rashur, some say it's also the raisa, the rabbanan, a whole multiplicity of views. It's very difficult for anything to become a kubbul. But somehow, the Rabbanu Shel Olam is so granted that in most issues, that with time, consensus emerges, and common practices emerge, and it becomes a mesira. The problem is that when the world changes around the Masorah, it's very difficult to change the Masorah. The Masorah may no longer be applicable to the situation, because the Masorah was dealing in a situation which is very, very different than the situation that we confront. Now, in European society changed when our forefathers lived there very, very slowly. In hundreds of years, things didn't change too much. But in American society, and particularly with the 20th and the 21st century, we were constantly on fast forward. I mean, 5 years, 10 years apart from where we are is a radically different world. I teach 15-year-olds, and I told them that, you know, I grew up and I was their age, but didn't have the fax machine. You had to go to a photostat machine. You know, there were no cell phones. I mean, there were no Xerox machines. Forget fact, there were no Xerox machines. There were no fax machines. There were no cell phones. We didn't have computers. Like, they look at me like, you know. I mean, they had to invent the horse and buggy. You know, they had a wheel. And that also, you know, you remember when that was invented. That's basically. Now, the reason I bring this up, I'm going to take a look at the definition of Passover B'Kislev. And I see Rav Naftali sitting here in the front row. He, in fact, once called me a number of years back from Chicago to ask me exactly the Shaila. And I'd like to explore it a little bit. The Shulchan Aruch says in Simu Kuftam Ches Siv Zayin that Pasah B'Kislev, so we have a halach of Pas and a Pasah B'Kislev. Now, on Pas we make Hamitzi Lechem and Aretz, on Pasah B'Kislev we make Bar Amidah Mezunas. Now they are somewhat interchangeable, because we know that in possible bikistin is halacha that if I'm koveya tzuda on it, that I have to recite hamoitzi, it mandates netilas yadayim, hamoitzi, and birchas hamazon. So that deals only with things which have what we call tzuras hapas, a bread-like composition. Pasta, for example, the place can say, so it's not considered tzuras hapas. So one can eat a carload, a tray of pasta, and still make a mezainus and alamichi. The reason that the bracha didn't change is articulated or Rabbi Yehuda very, very well. It's really muchrach in the Gemara in case of Nurorchim. The Gemara applies the term lechem even to possible the kistin too. And as Rabbi Yehuda explains, both pas and possible the kistin, they're all lechem, they're all pas. Chazal, the Chochmosom, or Chavei, are different brachos for each of them. One that was used as the mainstay of a Suda, that made the bracha of a Mitzvah Lechem and Aretz. One which was not used as the mainstay of a Suda, was used more for snack purposes, they relegated to Maramina Mazinus, a lesser bracha. As we know, the more specific the bracha, the greater Chashivas Chazal gave among drinks, we have the same thing. We have a general bracha of Shakal Niyavidvoro. And Yayin, which is the one which is most unique and outstanding, is Barapri Agosa. So, really, it's all pas. So, therefore, that's the reason we have the interchangeability that if a person is Koveya Suda on something, so if he's Koveya Suda, so then the halacha is that since now it's being used for a Suda, even though most people in most places don't use this for a Suda. But here and now, I am using it for a siddur. So therefore, the halacha is that I have to wash and I have to recite a mitzvah on it. Now, this is equally true whether it's in Hilchos Brachos. It's equally true in Suda Shabbos as well. For example, suppose I don't have bread. Suppose I just have two pieces of cake. So I can use them for lechem mishnah. And it can be Koveya Suda on that, and be Yaitse Suda Shabbos. If I have bread and I'm making a mitzvah, I can't use as the second challah, I cannot use a mezainus. But if I'm actually washing and making the Suda on it, as some of us have the practice to do, for example, on Shabbos Erev Pesach, there are those that use egg matzahs for the Suda. So there is a classic situation of something which normally is construed as a baramina mezainus, but if used for Kriya Suda, that we wash and we recite the Hamaitzi, we eat a requisite share, and we eat the Suda Shabbos. The Suda Shabbos is Daf Kala Pas. There's no other way to be eat the Suda Shabbos. This is a question that I'm often asked. Because for varied reasons, people either for diet reasons, for weight, or for reasons that people suspect that they are allergic to gluten. Not always true. I had a very extensive shayla with someone this past winter, who was believed, he was suffering greatly, and his doctors were absolutely convinced that he was allergic to gluten, and they wanted to put him on a diet where he wouldn't eat anything that had gluten in it for an entire year's time, and therefore the system would, whatever, straighten itself out. And somewhere along the way, so I was eyeing a great deal into the halachas of this, and the end was that he had a different problem. It wasn't gluten, it was something else. The doctor figured it out, and with an increased regimen of exercise and some minor changes, he's able to eat gluten as all the rest of us are able to when he's very comfortable and it feels better than his salt and yeast. So we don't always know, but they suspect oftentimes gluten allergy, so we yanti. And there's really no way that I've heard him define that I can be yaitse suda Shabbos, the first two sudas, without pas. So it doesn't exist. Elamai once potter from suda Shabbos in such a case, because the person is mitzpair, a person that is not comfortable eating, if it was uncomfortable eating, so it's mafriya einik Shabbos, mainly it's potter. But you'd have problems, for example, with the kezayis matz on Pesach and a kezayis lechem on Sukkot, which are not dependent on different parameters. So these things are interchangeable. So the Shacharach defines the question is what is possible to kiss them? In possible to kiss them, impossible to kiss them. So Baruch Hashem, we have three definitions, and then we have a machlokes. What's the the relationship of those three definitions to each other. So we have in the Shulchan Aruch the following. Yesh Meforshim, the Rach, and the Aruch, and others, Pasa Osikim and Kisim, something that was made with packet, Shemamalan Oysen Dvash Asukah, you put honey, or sugar, Vagoyiz and Minot, Tushkede, walnuts, almonds, the tablet and spices, Vaymanak Roim, whatever they're called in the Spanish of the Mechaber. Now, this in our terms we call these pies. So this is number one. V'yesh oimrem shu isa she'ir b'advash shem el cholos o minei tavlin v'ofo. It's a dough which is mixed together with isa she'ir b'advash shem el cholos o minei tavlin v'ofo. Now, you're dealing with a dough here which, remember, we're dealing, all of these doughs were made with water. There is some question what happens if you make a dough without water, if you actually have to recite Hamaitzi on it, but there's one mahalach of the Magid Mishnah, I believe that's the one that we accept the halacha, is any time that I make it without water, that there's no bracha of Hamaitzi on it. If you get involved, it's a possible bekismet, and then there are issues of Kviya Suda or not, but if it's made without water, so we're out of our realm altogether. We don't have to start to be done what it is. All of these things that we're going to deal with are all doughs which were made with bread and water. So I have, flour and water. So I have one as a pie dough, and I pie. V'yesh omer shu isa she'ira bo dvash v'shemen acholov u'minei tavlin v'afor v'hu she'yeh tam teruva samei peres v'atavlin nikar b'isa. The Sfardim have a very interesting shita. According to the Sfardim, if you take a bread dough and you put in your spices, and the spices, whatever the spices may be, and the you can taste the spices as the Shulchan Aruch ends, Nikar b'isa, they make mezonos on it. They don't make what? Yeah, anything with spices. That's why I'm learning as I go along. I have Baruch Hashem now, almost invariably, I have one or two Sfardim that told me them every year. So I'm learning over the time, and if I don't know, some of them are swift enough that I can actually ask them to go back and ask this father Shrabonim to exactly what they're going to hug them on. I can trust that they bring back to me. So that's one of the things they recite. That's when you put spice in the bread, they make the zaydus on it. That is the shita of the Mechaber. The Ramah says v'yeshoimrim, which is the Ashkenazi shita, shezen nikrum hazgom. This is full-fledged bread. You put a little salt, a little garlic, whatever it is, it doesn't change it. Elim ken yesh b'hem har be'tavlin or dvash k'minim b'sika. He says, har be'tavlin. The har be' is a very, very important word. The Shulchan Aruch really does not write that you need roiv. Despite the fact, the Chofetz Chaim writes, roiv mi'beim or mi'edmayim. The Chofetz Chaim talks in quantity. That roiv should be roiv, or what you mix the dough with should not be water, should be non-water, eggs, juices, etc. The Aruch HaShulchan says that this roiv, and it's interesting, the note is the lashon of the Rosh Yeshivah, har beit havlin advash. It doesn't write like roiv. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's a roiv, but it's a qualitative roiv rather than a quantitative roiv. In other words, the question is, what's the taste? Is the taste a bready taste? Or the taste is something else. You can put in some things which are maybe lesser in quantity, but their pungency and the effect in the taste is the prevailing taste. It's not really a garlic bread. You're tasting bread with a little bit of garlic in there. Sometimes the bread taste is really not there. Tasty, so which is what we call,
the garlic bread, it's first baked and then they
No, I'm talking about you make it in it. I'm not talking about you did it afterwards. There's no question about it. But let's say you would put garlic into the dough or whatever it might be that you put spices in the dough. Now, so this second definition is what we call cakes. And exactly which are cakes are independent dafka on this second sheet or not is a question. Rav Moshe and his Tshuvas seems somewhat different than the Chofetz Chaim in this regard. Rav Moshe writes, in effect, that this shita, in fact that it's a shita altogether, it's one of three shitas, is dealing something with, for example, which is like a yeast cake. Well, you have a substantial dough, and you have flavor besides, but there's no question you have a good doughy part of it. But he said when you have the cakes, for example, let's take a chocolate cake that we make, or whatever, it's a banana cake, with the whole thing is a very, very strong flavor. You don't really have a bready, doughy experience. Rav Moshe wants to argue that this is the Choladeus. This is that the same way that a pie is muskum, the Choladeus, that is possible, because then he wants to argue that our cakes are also in that, that our yeast cakes are in that realm too. So there's some difference about Shita number two.
That is whether
rove
is one or
meat is one. No, besides that, that's one issue. We're dealing rove and meat in quantity, as the Chofetz Chaim seems to quantify it, or in a qualitative sense. In other words, what's the major impact in the flavor? You can have some very pungent things that you put in that may be lesser in quantity, but they're overwhelming in taste. Then the Shulchan Aruch finally adds, V'yesh Meforshim, it's a bread dough, irrespective if it had spices in it or not. This is the mechaber, but the mechaber spices play a role. You make them into thin wafers, the kaisis in oisam, and you eat them for a snack. And then it's what are called biskunos, or biscuits in our language. And he writes, for halacha kedivrei kulam, we pass them like all of these sheetahs. There's some question what it means halacha kedivrei kulam. It's explored by the Bi'ur Halacha that the Rav Kiveger assumed that there's a machlokes of these varying views, and therefore he's wondering why the Shulchan Aruch just says halacha kedivrei kulam. And he cites others, the Maamar Mordechai, that says that since we don't find explicitly that the Rishonim disagree with each other, they may just be views which are complementary to each other, and everyone holds of every other view. He said, there are two views of what the halacha kedivrei kulam is. Now, in this last practice, also things have changed. And that's what I say, things change very, very slowly. Among the Sfardim, Arayim Azeh, the Sfardim an entire year make Baramina Mazenas on a matzah. They take a regular matzah, flour and water matzah, and they make Baramina Mazenas on it. In their culture, matzah was not used. I can't tell you in their culture today, I don't break bread with Sfardim often enough, you know, in their own homes, really, to know what their practices are. But in their culture, matzahs were relegated to Pesach. That's it. That's why some want to say that when they talked about the like with egg matzah, we'll leave that aside for them. So they were relegated to Pesach. Well, maybe the whole year there was no, they didn't use it as bread. If you had it, it was a snack, it was a cracker. That's it, if you had a little piece of it. That, now, among the Chassidim, apparently had a similar background in their countries, that they didn't have matzah available to them. And there are many among the Chassidim that Arayim as well take a piece of matzah during the year, and they'll make a mezainis on it. And I have a Chassidish Chaver who's a Talmud Chochem, and he works together in Chassidish business, and he shries Chai V'Kai. He lets the Chaver around him have it, that, you know, they're off the wall. You know, that nowadays, it's no question, it's used in our society, in Ashkenazi society, for a Suda, and therefore it's Lechem Gom. So that is the question, exactly what these, so we're dealing with a thin hard cracker, which is not typically used for a suda. So that we also recite Mizayna song, yeah.
What's the story from Mosco Pesach that uses
Chesed? Because then it has Shivas. In other words, that's the whole suda, Nigva on that. What? Well, it's even, but even if you don't have a Shia, but the fact that it's the whole mitzvah, the Shivas, yeah, but I presume, in other words, the whole chashivas is the suda has to be a man and gives it a chashivas. That's what I understand the sheep is. So we principally in our society, among most of us, recite hamotzi on matzah. But it's rather interesting. We'll go back. We'll see. There's a little grace still to this. Because we typically use, in our society, we use matzah for a suda. It's interesting that they have that matzah crackers, which are made of flour and water, which are made in small pieces, and if they're made in, now, those initially are made in small pieces, you understand that there's a difference between matzahs are not something that you cut to shape after you bake them. Not exactly, it doesn't work. You know, I want to ask someone, you know, about who's in the metal stamping business about metal caps, plastic caps. He says, Rabbi, what is the big difference? Metal is malleable. You can cut metal after you have a piece of metal, you can do whatever you want with it. Plastic, you can't do anything with. You put it in a mold and you make it, and that's it. If you try to do anything with it, it's going to crack. Matzahs are the same way. They are not malleable. So if you get a whole box of regularly shaped matzahs that were made that way from the beginning, this wasn't just as an afterthought, though we didn't have what to do with the matzahs, so we dumped them into the box. So the Moshe apparently held that when they make matzah crackers in little pieces, that since people would generally eat them more, you're not going to eat it as a sandwich, you're going to eat it more just as you would eat a cookie with a cup of coffee, that you could make recite mezainis in that. Does it have to do with the kavana and the lisha?
Where does this make a difference?
Well, the difference is in the end. In other words, this was made. We'll see at the end. This was certainly made to be used as a snack. But there's no question about that. Yeah. So, it has both. This was the fact, functionally, the way you use it, and for what it was made. But I don't know if that's always going to be the korea. Yeah.
The same in your product group, huh?
Croutons are worse, I believe. Croutons, depending what they're made of, croutons are made of all different things. Some are made with water, some are made without water. If they're made without water, they're mezainis. If they're made with water, lidaiti, they're pieces of bread. This dinner, the Shulchan Aruch, is very, very important. This dinner, the Shulchan Aruch, is very, very important to quantify. The Shulchan Aruch never signed off on the fact that bread eaten for a snack, you make mezainis on. The Shulchan Aruch only said that something which is thin and hard, I guess, and really doesn't lend itself all that much to be used as a conventional piece of bread, and usually for that reason it's used just as a snack, is that if you're using it for a snack, you're making mezainis on it. It's very important, because I think there are many cases which are widely misconstrued in this regard. I mean, it's always been my personal contention. I think that the soft pretzels that they sell are hamitzi. I just don't see they have a little bit of salt on the outside. Otherwise, it's a bread dough. And it's ultimately, it's a type of bagel with a hard outside and a soft inside.
Are there croutons any worse than the case of matzah? As opposed to matzah is made out of something
with... No, the croutons are not made of matzah. The croutons are made of bread.
Saying, in the same way, the matzah is basically bread, just made in a way that...
Yeah, but this I agree, but this was made as pas. The Shulchan Aruch never signed off. I don't know any din that says that if I made pas for a snack, that you can make mezainis. What? No, it's a thin dough. It's hard. It's by its nature.
Oh, that's the shita.
That's the shita, yeah.
Rabbi first told me that when the croutons first came out, the kosher croutons, the company would buy bread from a bakery and then cut it up.
Yeah, it's even more because it was mamish tourist. That was.
But he says now they're making their own bread for the croutons, which is a prophet in the
I'm not convinced. Okay, as much as I respect Rabbi First, and he's a good Yiddishman of mine, and I respect him highly, but I'm not.
Originally,
yeah, but I'm not convinced.
You say the croutons are bread because they're made as a bread and cut in pieces. Yeah. If they're made into pieces, it's still
whatever. You can't make them as pieces.
It's not
a thing. There's a bread dough. You cannot make them. They have to be made. You cannot achieve that. Otherwise, they're going to be all crust. And baking is just an impossibility. Yeah. Well, there has to be cut after.
No, the matzah crackers, you said, they're cut just before they go in the oven.
Yeah.
And the croutons are cut as soon as they come out.
Yeah, no, rather.
So why does that make a difference? Where do you see that
makes a difference? No, I don't like just meant to follow. One is bread. The croutons are bread.
The
matzah is not. The matzah is exactly the shita. The chaber shita is that thin, hard things. In other words, that metzias is differentiated than bread normal.
Yeah, but matzah would make it mostly on regular matzah. The fact that they make it small pieces.
So that's afotikin, because that's still relegated for a snack. So, in other words, we're taking something which.
They're taking both.
Yeah. I'll come upon what I wanted to touch on. This is just a little bit. The lay of the land.
The question would be crackers and pizza chips and all those that don't have flour and water. You know, because
the ones that don't have flour and water, certainly.
The ones that are flour and water.
Yeah.
But primarily they're used for snacks.
Yeah. That's something else. I could hear you making a mezainis on that. I could certainly see that fits into together of kaif and dakif, you know.
So what is the cinnamon stick?
I don't know what cinnamon is. Yes.
Well, why don't you spoke about that now? No, we have the cinnamon bread.
They're quite thick. They're not hard. They're not a hard dough.
Uh-huh.
Soft.
a lot of times the shape for you.
Yeah. Now, kitzur, so what about...
You assume that all the machabers sheep deserve with water.
Yes.
Where do you get that? Do you get that? I
because otherwise you don't... since we paskin, like the sheet that Rabbi Gedishter brings, that without water you don't have to make a mitzvah, so you don't need all of these reasons the Shulchan Aruch deals. You can have a plain, you can make a bread from it, straight, flat piece of bread, and you still make mitzvah.
But if it doesn't have water, it still, it could be passed, it could be a pseudo.
Yeah.
No, but where it doesn't have anything.
You could be convey a pseudo, or you wouldn't need all... Yes, yeah, that's fine. You could have tzura to pass, you could have without being passed. Yes. Cake as two of us. Now, what I want to explore, and this a very common case which will bring it into focus, is what bracha should one be making on pizza. Now, as I say, the world changes, and the problem is that in the dynamics of the halacha, we don't change so quickly. We have a hard time. You know, the world's changing very rapidly around us.
So I read now for you.
Now, let's go back. You know, I'm in New York. I grew up in this town. Having grown up in this town, I can remember just about when kosher pizza was introduced in New York. Okay, circa 1960, about somewhere around there. The last year that I was in Chaim Berlin in Brownsville. I wasn't, you know, I went there till 7th grade in Brownsville, so the last number of years, 5th grade, 6th grade, somewhere around there. And so then there was a widespread shmur that went around New York. There was a rather well-known machlokes between two of the greatest rabbinic figures in New York at the time, well, between Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal and Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, how many slices of pizza you needed to create. This is well-known, the foursome, Yadur Lakhil. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said on 2 pieces is kriya suda, Rav Moshe said 3 pieces. Okay? And this was rather well known and stayed as a fixed part of the New York climate for many, many years. Now let's turn our attention to the end of Siman Kuf Samaches. I would presume it's Passover B'Kistin in the first one, like a pie dough, right? As a filling. And we'll explore that.
Rabbi, first of all, you could never track anybody down. We've never heard Rav Moshe say.
I don't know. I can't tell you. I can just tell you what it was.
Laurie finds it all the time.
Okay, this is rather. Listen, I first didn't grow up in New York. You know, this was a foursome lakol. You know, when I was for some place, you know, how it became a foursome, I don't know. But the fact that it was some a foursome, and no one ever questioned the fact that this was correct. So, mid-mad it, you know, that it's true.
What was that?
I presume a hashara exactly what the share that you needed. Okay, there are Rav Moshe and the Chuvas, whatever, has his own view exactly what the share is. And the truth is, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik maybe even a little further went along the same line as Rav Moshe, away from a little bit what the Shulchan Aruch wrote directly. Now we have, at the end of Siman Kuf Samaches, we have the following halacha. Pashtidon, hanefer, betano, bebosar, or bedogim, or begvina. So this is basically something which is, you know, we can call it barakas, I guess. But what it's filling? It's filling is meat, fish, or cheese. It's mevorach alav hamoitzi obyachasamoza. So what happened here? We started off in Siv Zion. We had a pie. And it had kisnin. And we made berem in Rezonis. All of a sudden we got the Siv Yud Zion. And the Shulchan Aruch has a different view. So what does the Shulchan Aruch, so what does the Yichud Yachroidim tell us? So the Chofetz Chaim in Sifkot and Tzadik Dalet writes, Mavoruch Alav Amvitz, Nihayna Wafilu B'Deloi Kol V'Alayu, even if there was no Kfiyah Suda. And there was like a little piece of it, that's all. V'Lo Domi L'Pasavo B'Kisnen, and why is this not comparable to Pasavo B'Kisnen of Siv Zayin? V'Lo Mavoruch Alav Amvitz, B'Deloi Kol V'Suda Alayu, without Kfiyah Suda, and any of the cakes mentioned in Siv Zayin, there would be no Hamaytzi. The shiny holes in a seam are little klikurach suda on the matzika. Those are meant to snack foods. Masha enkim pashtido shemamula b'bosor. That these things, these meat barakas, which is derech la'ochlum the rabban, a person eats them for a meal. who gedel is voya, and to satiate one's hunger. But with a most sure pasu bosa, what's the difference in this and any other sandwich? Just because you made it in one shot, you were efficient. You didn't cook the meat separately and then bake the bread and then put the two together. You made the whole thing in one shot.
Does it have to have
a tzuras apas? It certainly has a tzuras apas. You know, tzuras apas is a dough.
It's like a flaky dough.
Yeah, that's
cake dough.
That's tzuras apas. That's no different. That's tzuras apas. It means a doughy composition. That's tzuras apas. Whereas a pasta is not tzuras apas. It doesn't have a doughy composition to it.
Sponge cake is called tzuras apas.
100%. Without it.
Wraps.
Come to wraps. Let's wait. We'll come to wraps.
You assume this dough has what in it?
Yes.
Has what? Like water and oil, or just water?
Basically, it's water. Otherwise, it wouldn't be. You could have a little bit of, according to the Shulchan Aruch.
Barakas wouldn't fit in there. This wouldn't be a shayla barakas. It's more like.
A calzone, probably. A calzone is probably a better example. A barakas is similar to a more closer to a knish. But a calzone is a better example of this. A calzone. Where?
I will show the difference between a snack and something.
Let's. What? Rabbi Ginsburg, they're asking me if ich weiß doch euch nicht, at least I know they exist. And ich weiß doch euch nicht, you know. I just told Rabbi Ginsburg. The difference between me and him is, I'm not exactly sure the difference in Barakas and Calzone either, but I know that such a thing is. Rabbi Ginsburg, though, they don't even know it exists. That's the thing.
You're assuming now, the Shulchan Aruch, that this is basically a bread dough.
Yeah, this has to be according to the
Machaber.
Has to be according to the Machaber.
Not other ingredients.
Has to be according to the Machaber.
As opposed to other types of things like Barakas, where the primary liquid in the dough is not water. And therefore,
oh, and yeah, without any question about that.
The difference is, if you finish the pasuk of a sabata.
No, it's nothing to do with the sabata.
So what's just in a snack and not a snack of all the ingredients?
Because the chazal or koveya for a suda, which is the primary lifeblood of a person, has the brocha of a maitzi, but oriented to that. The snacks, which have less significance to the human life, they did not give such a choshev brocha to it. They gave a separate brocha for it. That's the Rabbi Kivayeg we started. Now, therefore, based on this, these two sifim of the Shulchan Aruch, I have long personally felt that pizza has evolved. You know, when I went to Levy's pizza place on Pitkin Avenue in Brownsville, circa 1960, if you want to know how old I am, the slices cost 15 cents a piece in those days. It was a lot of money. The bus also cost 15 cents. But what was interesting is you go Friday. Friday was the big day we went because we had time to go to the pizza place. In the middle of yeshiva day, it was very hard to have enough time. It took about 10 minutes to get there from yeshiva. So he went until he came back. So we used to go Fridays after yeshiva. So you went and you ate pizza. Then you went home. What did you do when you got home? You ate lunch. Because pizza was no different than if you had a chocolate bar. It's a new type of chocolate bar. But it was totally a snack food. Nobody looked upon it as a meal. Then you came home with a pizza place, and you sat down Friday, you ate a sandwich, and you ate lunch. Skipped lunch, because you had a snack. So, in that... What?
How big were the pizza?
Same as today. Same story. No different than today. So, in that context, it clearly it fit into Siv Zion. Fitting into Siv Zion, so then arise questions of when do you go arrive at the point of Kfiyas Suda, where it changes that you have to make a Moitzi on. Nowadays, if you go to schools, camps, etc., I mean, this is one of the lunches that's regularly served. Probably most yeshivas served once a week. I know where I am. I think every Thursday afternoon, I think, they serve pizza. Freshly made in the place, you know, whatever it is. However they do it, they get the dough, they put the sauce on, the cheese, the marazon, that's served. Today, it became a meal item, not a snack item. And consequently, The basic bracha, from my standpoint, has to be the tzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitz Now, what? Even on one slice.
Yeah.
Now, Elamai, I do have, and as I say, I have one Kiddush here. This I don't believe. I don't believe I'm saying anything which is Kiddush that can disregard. Yes, even without Kriya Suda. Now, I would perhaps submit one Kiddush, Lekula, and if you want to disagree with me, this is the place to disagree with me. And what I said until now, I don't think that it's reasonable to disagree. If you want to type this to Matthias, clearly, I just don't think. And Rav Naftali called me, I remember the day after I came home from the country, it's quite a number of years ago. It's in Chicago, that's before Milwaukee and before Boca, right? To discuss a shiur given by Rabbi Francis, I believe.
Right? Sorry?
I think Rabbi Francis was the one that gave the shiur in Chicago about it.
No, this was, my job was to...
Yeah, but I think, but I had to... I know, but I think the background was a shiur given, I think, by one of the Rosh Kaidel in Chicago about it, who also came to the same conclusion. Kitzer, I do still maintain, and as I say, if you want to disagree with me, this is the place where you can hit me over the head, that if eaten solely for a snack, I don't deny the fact that it is sometimes eaten for a snack. Now, not at our age, there's some things you just don't do at our age, one of the hardest mitzvahs for me to do, I have to tell you, one of the hardest mitzvahs to do is Malav Malka. Shalosh Shudas, Mamela, but somehow I'm still able to function. But the time it comes to Malav Malka, it's very, very hard for me to be Yotze Malav Malka. I manage, but it's very, very difficult. By the time I get up there after Havdalah, I don't need to eat till Monday morning. I don't have the mood. It's just not, if they eat whatever we Jews are used to eating on Shabbos, it's enough for me. I don't want to look at food till Monday.
I said I like that the cow from the mountain in the summertime.
So, at our age you don't have it, but teenagers, have a different constitution than we have. So it's likely they sometimes would eat pizza just as a snack, not even for a meal. So my idea is that if it's eaten for a snack, I think it's made for that as well, that one could be mako under that situation if it was less than a shir kriya suda to make mezonos on it. You may say that I'm inconsistent, and it has to be. And you have a right to disagree with me. I'm not, the first part that I think, the first part, as I said, the first part I'll get up and I'll fight for. The other I say it's probably in Shikala Das. You hear it differently, you hear it differently. I can't, fight with you. The first part is to me pretty mukhrah. But that's what I say. Society changes around us, and the halacha is fixed. It's not the halacha's principles are immutable. That were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The question is, the shailas that we have are different shailas. And because we have different shailas, there are different answers to the different shailas. And they're not contradictory, they're merely different. But we have a hard time relating to the fact that things around us change. And there are many things, other things that which are beyond the pale of, the things we're going to talk about today, where history has changed around us, and we're slow, with the society. It's very difficult. Society doesn't change quickly, and consequently ingrained practices and outlooks stay for a very, very long time, long after they've outlived their usefulness. Well, age level is always a factor, because the older a person gets, the more difficult it is to change. An older person is used to doing things a certain way. We lack already the flexibility of personality, to be able to change things. But it goes from door to door too. So that becomes, the Messiah. Whether it should be or it shouldn't be, but it remains the Messiah.
Yeah, it doesn't mean there's an older person.
I didn't mean that. I'm just talking the reality and the practicalities. I'm not talking the halachas, Now, I just want out of one cautionary note within all of this. You ask someone if his pizza is made with water or made with juice. Which of the two he uses? One would readily understand that the norm probably would be to make it with water, because for a very simple fact, that water is relatively free, relatively, and juice costs a lot of money. But you will also have the experience that if you ask a guy, he tells you he made it with juice. Ask him the following question. Did he use juice which was reconstituted or not? Now, a lot of times he'll tell you, it's a lot cheaper to use reconstituted than to use reconstituted. Not always, but he used reconstituted juice. It means he took one container of juice, and he added 3 to 5 containers of water to it, and that's the juice that he used, which is both in two regards. I believe it's pretty mukhrach that that's not considered. I mean, there is some measure of controversy. I don't know if the Chassidim will agree with this. But Pashtus Hadvarim is that this is not considered make Paris anymore. And Araya Lakach is a very poshut Araya that this is not to be construed as make Paris in that regard. To be construed what? For Hilchos Pesach, for make Paris. That's a different halacha between, it's true, chemically we took out water, we put back water. But there are two things. First of all, the taste is not the same. Somehow something changed. And the halacha and make Paris and Hilchos Pesach tells us it's radically different. There's one halacha of make Paris without water, and halacha of make Paris with water. I mean, if it's all the same thing again, what's the nafkamina? I don't know, my inflation is up, it's a little bit of a hard time understanding that. But I mean, there are some chassidim that would dispute. I will tell you that. Okay. That's as much for the moment as I want to talk about pizza. I would like. Well, if it was made with May Paris, so then it doesn't ever didn't pass. And of course, with that sheet in the Magid Mishnah, the one of Rome quotes it, that I believe is Nog Lemaisa, that something which is made without water is not to be construed as bread.
Then you don't make them
unless it's a Sheikh Fiyasuda, right?
Why is it different than bread? And why does that make it any different than bread than making it with? Without just plain water.
But again. Without Kaviyah Sudan.
No, in general, people are Kaviyah Sudan.
It still doesn't make a difference. Let's say a Kaviyah Sudan apples. Let's say that becomes the style. That's it.
Why is it any different than making with water and having the.
Because one is bread and one is not. But the definition of bread, according to the Magid Mishnah, without water is not a definition of bread.
Not bread at all.
That's not bread. That's all. It's bread like. But it's not bread.
So
we have varied definitions. That's beyond what I'm going to go into today. There are varied definitions of Kriya Suda. Some definitions of Kriya Suda have to do with the amount that you eat. That's one definition. There are other possibilities of Kriya Suda too. Kriya Suda could mean, which is explored in Moshe and Tshuvos, that if I eat something in place of bread, relatively an amount that I would eat for bread together with a whole collection array of other things, that's also a Kriya Suda.
So would that apply to pizza?
Not necessarily. In other words, let's say a person has a small amount. He's not really eating. Rav Moshe talks in the context of the Kedei Sviya, a full meal. Now, I wanted to turn my attention, which we really don't have all that much time to do, let's just discuss a little bit without, really the Marma Kaimas for it. The schnitzel is a very, very interesting halachic phenomenon. You know, there are certain cases which are very, very good in the world of halacha because they force us to quantify certain things which we wouldn't quantify otherwise. In fact, there are even among the Gedolim that say that some of the stranger cases discussed in the Gemara were discussed not because they ever thought these things were going to happen, but rather merely as a means of elucidating the lumdus. In other words, they wanted a case that could bring out something in the lumdus, so they made a strange construct because there was something about it in a way that could highlight what the lumdus is, because I wanted to convey what the lumdus is as well, not only the dry halacha, but the theory behind it as well, so we should understand it then. So certain cases in halacha are very good, and technology is very good for that reason, in terms of, besides its practical impact, but technology opens up new vistas in understanding the halacha. It creates types of things and situations which didn't exist before. So therefore, we now, as we struggle to understand that which the halacha means, the possibilities become broader in our own minds. G'dayli Olam had their own yashrus and understanding. The Rashba and the Gro understood Torah. They went right to the root, and it was clear in their yashrus, and that's it, and everything, every shayla that you ask them flowed automatically from their havona. But we do not have the yashrus. Chaim Volozhin says, what's Yosef Godel? Yosef is Yosef Godel. The greater yashrus is for Chaim Volozhin wrote. That's the greater Godel. So they, Katmoinim had a tremendous yashrus. So they understood Torah throwing places. And as the, I heard once of Shneya, the Chatalik the Baruch say this. It's a very famous thing from the Altar of Slobodka. The Altar of Slobodka said that which is a stronger statement lahalocha? Says if the Rosh brings a shayla, and the Rosh brings a riot that the shayla is true, or the Rosh says nearly, which is a stronger statement of halacha? So intuitively, we say, oh, one the Rosh brought a riot to, one he doesn't have any riot to. The Alta said, finish them. The Alta said that nearly is a much stronger statement than the riot. Why? Because if the Rosh went to a riot, I mean, the Rosh and his Das Torah could understand both to be true. They both could be true. So he brought a riot to be Koveya. So he said, it didn't have to be that way for terms of the Havonah that the Rosh had in Torah. Of, there's a riot. A riot is Koveya. When the Rosh is nearly, the Rosh says, my entire Yashra Satyrus is impossible for it to be otherwise. Can it be honest? I've worked from the altar of Slobodka. The whole Yashra of the Rosh says it can't be. It doesn't need a riot. It doesn't have a riot. The Yashra Satyrus says it is the way it is without a riot.
Maybe it doesn't have a riot because
there's no power. Well, yeah. You can always ask all the Kashas you want. That doesn't come to ask Kashas on the altar, you know? So I'm a Satyr from the altar. You can see, you know, I'll call upon him. So the Kadmoinim had tremendous yashrus. In their yashrus, they were kolel amatoros to the emes. We're not always so readily, we don't access that yashrus so readily. We're not so great. So very, when we have new shaylas, of new types of mitzvahs, so we see the halacha differently than we would have seen it otherwise. And it leads us to explore the halacha new avenues that we could have explored them without the new mitzvahs. So shayla sometimes are very, very interesting. Now, schnitzel has always been a very, very perplexing thing. Perplexing because nimnu v'gomru, you asked among the daily oilam in this country. So it was muskan that the broch on a schnitzel is shakl. That was clear. That was nimnu v'gomru. They were asked for Rav Moshe Zatzal, Rav Yankel, broch on a shakl. Why that was the case was always clouded rather very, very, very in mystery. I'll explain the issue. We're assuming that the breading that you used was something, let's say, from Matzamim or something like that. Something which you would think certainly was made of the Chameshas Minei Dogon. So if it's made of Chameshas Minei Dogon, so they will assume it doesn't have a Tzuras of Pas anymore, it lost the Tzuras of Pas in the cooking and the frying, okay, so on. So we have our general halacha which says that when it comes to chameishes minei dogon, then even if they're a meat and they're there for the purpose of tam, that if they're there other, let's put it this way, so we'll really put it a little differently, if they're there other than for the purpose of consistency, of binding it together, so the halacha is they're not bottled. If they're not bottled, even if it's a meat, it's kaveir halacha. Now we have classic cases in Achrayim. There's a classic case. What? You make a mezainah. Okay. It's a Gemara. It's based on a Gemara in case of Mevarchim. There's classic illustrations of this. There's a case, I believe, in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, I think, is the source of this. There are pastries which are made where the essence of the pastry is the filling. The outside of the pastry itself was a very thin, papery dough without much taste to it. And the basic reason for having it was it would not be aesthetically very pleasing to pick up a glob, you know, of the filling and eat it that way. So Menschlichkeit dictated that you made something to wrap the thing in to hold it together. But the man is always out to create a better mousetrap. So as time went on, some bakers figured out they could make an even better product if they gave a little bit more substance to the dough and they gave flavor to the dough. So initially the halacha was that the dough is bottled because it's really serving a function, not for anything for its own sake, merely for the purpose of keeping you not avoiding a mess. And whatever the bracha on the filling, if it was eight typically, which would have been the filling, something made from fruits, something sweet. So the halacha would be that you made very pre-eight on it, and that was it.
The mini hot dogs and Peter.
Well, come to them. Well, the mini hot dogs are not so. Certain. You can have, vary things that way. Sometimes you can make a knish like that, whatever, vary things. Now, what happens over time, inevitably, is that some guy decides he's going to make a better mousetrap. So he decides he's going to make his better than everyone else's. He's going to make it a little bit thicker, and he's going to put some flavoring into it, and he's going to soup up the outside. So, then we find in Achrayim, is that the Chofetz Chaim cites it, the Chofetz Brachos, that once the outside became significant, even though the roiv is still the inside, and that halacha is borei min mezaynus, and that's it. They don't longer make a bracha on the inside. The outside is the koveya. One should note, this is important to note, this the hedya really in the Gemara in case of Mevarchim, is that this halacha only applies to chameishes min etovan. It does not apply to rice. Rice is bottled roiv. If you made a mixture of rice and something else, and there's more of something else than the rice, so the halacha is nikva, but it's something else, not of the rice. This is only halacha and chameishes min etovan. So according to the principles of Hilchos Brachos, since there's no question that the breading on a schnitzel or a fried fish is certainly there, it adds to the flavor. It's not just, one doesn't typically eat it with one's hands, so I don't need that on the outside for that reason. So what's the reason that one does not recite a mezaynus on it? Whatever, Nezer explores it, and with the difficulty. These are prima godim at the end of Siman Reish Dalet. And I'll tell you the yisoid which emerges from that. And it's interesting, I saw in a sefer on Hilchos Brachos, when he was quoting Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Yaakov just said the punchline without all the riots, lakach. But the yisoid was the same. That there's two types of situation when you have a mixture of two different things. Sometimes you mix two different things together because you want to eat two different things. But they happen to be that two different things taste very good together. For example, you make a chocolate bar and you put nuts inside. So why do you put this? Because you like nuts and you like chocolate, and the experience of nuts and chocolate is la'ela, That's one type of situation. You have a situation where your interest is solely in eating one thing. The other item is merely there to enhance the flavor of the first thing. And so what emerges from the prima godim is that in that type of situation, and in the first type of situation is where you apply the halacha that as long as it has chameishes min etovan, even if it's b'miyuton, whether it is there for satiation purposes, whether it is there for flavor purposes, that in both of those situations, the halacha is that one recites a mezaynus on it. But if it is there solely, not for its own sake, it's not because I'm interested in eating breading. The breading is only to enhance the flavor of the fish or the chicken, whatever it may be. So in such a situation, there is a dim bittle even on chameishes min etovan. That's what emerges from the prima godim. You'll find that, I think, if I recall correctly, it's a sefer on Hilchos Brachos. Who wrote it? I think the same person that wrote the book on Muktzah, they wrote it from Lakewood. Badr. I think in Rabbi Badner's book, he quotes Rabbi Yaakov. The Yisoid, without any Maran Mekaymus, but the Yisoid he quoted from Rabbi Yaakov, this emerges from the sugya from a prima godim. So this is an unusual case. An unusual case is a good.
What's the example of the second one?
Schnitzel is a perfect example. Yeah.
So I would add to this that did you ever take a piece of plain schnitzel and bake it? Okay, which people do, diabetic, whatever.
Yeah.
10 minutes after it comes out of the oven, it's like hard and it has no taste. 10 minutes to fish to a large extent. When you put a coating on it, the coating not only enhances it by having its own flavor,
That certainly adds to it. That's a very good addition.
Like below the main condition, that might make it. It's a double dip in the east end.
So then, when it becomes, so Rabbi Yosef said, this took some exploration with him to find out, but he held that when the outside was made on a very thick basis, more than typically we do in our part of the world, that it would be kovei abrocha by itself. In other words, they would become a zaynus. Then the batter is becoming, on the outside, is becoming yesh in its own right.
Make two
no, I think then you'd make one. Then you'd go back to that, similar to the case that I mentioned before, when you had the fruit filling, when you enhance the outside to the point that it has chashivas in its own right. So then the chicken is bottled. The chicken is bottled in the mutant.
Ice cream sandwich be two brachas?
Ice cream sandwich is clearly two brachas because it's not cooked together in any regard. You're just putting it together afterwards, two separate ikras.
What about the brownie with
the brownie? These are tricky cases. I tend to make two brachas on them. Because you have, Ramesha was not in a soup case. When you have soup, a little, let's say, soup nuts inside, a little bit of lokshin, he was reluctant to say that it's bottled.
What case are you talking about now?
Soup is a little lokshin inside. He wants to know, like, you have the ice cream with the pieces of the crunch, the cookies inside, cookies and cream, you know.
Yeah.
I make two brachas on it. You know, a better, I would prefer sometimes, which Ramesha preferred than his chufa with soup, to find something else to make the mezainis on. But Pashtus Hadvarim is, I don't see why. I think Rav Moshe did not feel, I don't know when the cookies and cream, I can't tell you exactly what it is. Certainly in the soup case, Rav Moshe did not feel the shahakal you certainly had to make. In other words, you sometimes have a situation that's very hard to say that the little bit of the mezonos that you have could be construed in the totality of the whole thing as the ikar. And I think that you may, for example, explore Cholos in that regard. That you might not, it would be a little difficult from my perspective to think that the barley somehow becomes the ikar of the whole thing. You know, I'm not to say that it doesn't have a brocha, that's a different problem. I don't think so either. But to say that the barley in its bimiyuta becomes the kfiyus of the entire dish is also hard to say.
So what do you make on Cholos?
I personally, if it has barley in it, I eat it outside of meal, I make two brochas on it.
I
make hadama. The meat, usually the meat. Listen, Rabbi Ginsburg's family and mine came from the same thing. We're from Poland. They said, "Don't worry, the meat does nothing. The potatoes are all in the meat."
I got
to hear
about the kid, the ice cream, the brownies in it, because it didn't come in brought. So, do you take the brownie first, make a brocha on that, even though it's also got ice cream on it, which you didn't make a brocha on? Just
yeah,
I think so.
I think so.
What about cereal with milk?
Say what mokas klor, you make one bracha and that's it.
Why?
Because that's the derech hachila v'kachan. Certainly the robe is not the, you know, is not is the cereal. The ikar is the cereal. Usually, especially if it's a mezayin cereal. But they usually. I don't think so. I don't think most people eat it. That milk is a separate metzias. You know, it's part of the oichel. You just, you know, you can't eat it without it. That's a whole different problem. When you want a tofu in its own right or its own sheep, there's all different fears.
Sharper told me years ago, a kid is having milk and cake, and the milk is only to soften up the cake, it doesn't make a broth on it. It only makes a broth on the cake.
The right of it.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
No. Because
in your mouth. You know, they're having them together.
Real
Rabbi Yisrael, that's, I think, enough for Friday. And as I say, I have Rahmanis. I'm home already, but I think some of you want to get ready for Shabbos.
What about rap?
Oh, what? Okay, I'll tell you.
Here we go.
We want to wrap up with rap. Rabbi Ginsburg. You're forsaking God, this is a rap. This cannot talk. Yeah. Now, it's so bad that even when Spencer serves one, it doesn't know it's not this, you know. They say that Rabbi Yosef once at the Stasis Revitin, I think, was the schnitzel. So he said, that's what I gave you for lunch today. You know, it's a yeast. So I'll have to, you know, what it's called, you know. You know, he looked at it, whatever, you know. Kitzur, wraps, let's assume again we're dealing with flour and water. It's not all my wraps are made from flour and water. There are other possibilities. There was corn flour, there were all types of things. But let's assume it's a flour and water wrap. The dough is essentially a bread dough. That's what it is. That's the tzias of it. And it's typically used, what?
Wait, I mean,
flavor
greatly.
Whatever, we as Ashkenazim don't care about that flavor. It doesn't make, you know, it doesn't change the taste. It's a bread dough, and it's used typically in a sandwich. That's what it's used for. I mean, the wrap is typically.
Bread.
What?
Bread.
Yeah, to put meat and whatever. It's used, whatever. It's used instead of eating a bread sandwich, you have with a wrap sandwich. I mean, pashta sadvarim is that it's a mitzi, and the one do rabbeim. In our school, they asked me, then they came back and they told me to use Rabelski, and Rabelski also told them the same thing to make a moitzi on it. So, mm-hmm. That's what I believe is correct.
How much is a sheer of a wrap?
Kazayas, like any other kazayas.
How can you figure it out?
Yeah, I told you it's very simple. I'm very, you know, I was once at the Seder with the Chaskel Sama, the Chatzadik Devorah, in Toshin Choftes. And at that Seder was. Present was a Chaim Sarna, who was the head of the Chevron Gula today, and his Rebbe Tanala Ashalom. So she talked about the fact she was with Rabbi Hunter at the Seder. She says, how did he measure a kezayis? He put more on his hand, it looked like a kezayis, and he gave it out. I mean, I don't know, but I have a hard time understanding the problem. Typically in one's house, one has an extra large egg. You take a hard-boiled egg, you cut it in half, and that's more than a kezayis already. Kezayis is a chatzi beya, and that's more because most of the eggs which come out are large, I believe. That's five sausages, peewees, mediums, large, extra large, and jumbles. And most of them are large. So extra large is already somewhat larger. What's the size of a half an egg? And that's a kezayis.
Large is actually medium.
It is, yes, that's what I'm saying. It's actually the meaning, because it's most of the eggs, it's really, it's the mean egg, is the large. So that's it, take a hard-boiled egg and cut it in half, and that's it, that's the shape, very simple. What? Shape for what?
Matzah.
Matzah, something else. You know, when it comes to matzah, everything in Pesach, we try to do l'mahadra. The mitzvah sachag, I talked about this for Shabbos HaGadol. The mitzvah sachag are an inyan of haidah. They're not only a mitzvah. It's an inyan of haidah. In haidah, there's no shir, the haidah. And mainly everything that we do in Pesach is done because Pesach is an inyan of haidah. It's done full throttle, the mahadran. So mainly, we're dealing with a deraisa, which we don't usually have most of the year. Most of the year is Rabbanon, so we're dealing with the rice, and we're dealing with the time that we want to be Mahadah, so there's no, you know, we pull out all the stops. But if you look back at all the most smaller possibilities for kezayis, you're old enough to remember, were less than one half of a machine mat.
Yes.
Okay? Ramosh had for Kairach when he first put out the shiur on the 6x3 piece of matzah. Moitzi matzah was 6x4, which is barely more than half a matzah. And the Kairach he had 6x3. And the Rosh Shiva's shiurim that he has the Messiah from Rav David, what he saw from Rav David, it's somewhere around probably the 6x3. I don't even think it reached the 6x4. Yes. I was there once, yeah.
He took a piece of a small piece on the thing, put another piece on top, another piece. He said that that's too much already.
Yeah, but I don't count in one.
But she told me that anyway, since
you have
56
there,
that's
on the rebuttal. Yeah, no, for now. But so the Rosh Hashanah share of Kalman once went and had the Rosh Hashanah break masses until they thought it was somewhat less than Ramesh's earlier shiur. I don't know exactly how much, but it was less. I mean, I wanted to say that Rosh Hashanah is unusual in that regard, this money, you know.
Did she say how much Rabbi Hanan had for masses?
No, she just told out the fact he put it into his hand and he looked at him and he was happy with it because he gave it up. I presume the ground. It was.
You make a Madonna on apple pie,
or a Cheerios? Do you make a Madonna on apple pie?
Well, the
Cheerios. It's not an apple pie. It's a Cheerios.
It's a Cheerios, maybe.
Yes.
you want to eat something.
We have a problem with that.